Broadcasting live from the beautiful Sheraton Imperial Hotel in Durham, North Carolina, it's the North Carolina Technology Association's State of Technology Conference. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, it's good to be back. I'm Ann Revelle Petcher with Michael Lauer. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, things are really starting to kick off here. It's getting kind of busy.
Well, it's getting real busy.
I think they opened the bar. I think that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting to get over there. But we have something much more important to do here. We have Giovanni Masucci from National Digital Forensics, Inc. Hello, Giovanni.
Hello. Good evening. How are you guys?
I'm so
doing
good.
Doing great.
It's
great.
So good. So what brings you to NCTA?
This conference.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool conference, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is. Tell us a little bit about National Digital Forensics.
National Digital Forensics. Well, we are strictly a forensic lab facility. Actually, we do digital forensics. That is our core. What that means and what we do is typically we work with corporations and law enforcement and government and corporate personnel and attorneys across the country and internationally working on cases that have digital evidence. And so digital evidence can be any type of evidence that could be admissible in court from any type of device.
So why? Okay, this is we're getting into like CSI kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I took a forensics class in high school, and it's very, very elementary, but it does get me kind of stoked about it when we can talk about it.
It can't be elementary if it's high school.
Very elementary.
Give us some case study examples here. Well, tell me about the kinds of things that you might have looked at, obviously.
It could be like a homicide case or embezzlement or fraud or intellectual property theft, and that's really big, intellectual property theft. You know, you hear about all these data breaches that are going on externally. I mean, it's like, it seems like every day there's
Snowden
a data breach.
Kind of things.
Everything. I mean, we do espionage cases too. So, but a lot of it happens internally too, where somebody, an employee may, decide they want to leave a company and they feel like they put in all this time and now they're going to take their contact list or take some intellectual property and they're either going to work for themselves or they're going to go work for the competition. Which, again, taking that kind of data is a no-no.
It's a big no-no.
So, and it causes complications because if they actually do take this data, now you have intellectual property theft, trade secret theft, but the double implication of that is that they may not realize, but they go into another era where they've now caused a data breach and personal information is taken at the same time.
So that's kind of how you figure you've got a problem usually is when there's a breach.
Yeah, breach. Or, you know, we get called in by internal counsel and house counsel or external counsel, and they say, hey, listen, the company's doing an investigation and they think an employee took some data and they want us to come in and help them investigate.
And so you follow the digital breadcrumbs.
And we do. And nothing. What I like to say is, data is still there, okay? And so, is there digital breadcrumbs? Absolutely. Can I guarantee 100% that it can be recovered? No, but if you do something, chances are it's going to be recovered.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. So how does social media play into that?
Oh, I love social media. That, to me, when this thing just keeps going and going and going, and people are like, I do this, and they're pretty careless because...
Oh, they're extremely careless.
Well, let me ask you this. How can an employee be on the company network for 8 hours, but then also logged in on Facebook and MySpace Instagram and all this and
be in marketing and that's your job. But,
true.
Most people aren't.
But people tend to deviate, and people are human. Yeah. So what I would say, if they do something at home, potentially they're going to be doing the same thing at work that they shouldn't be doing.
Interesting. So does social media is a bad thing, but can it be a good thing?
It's a good thing for us, for myself as a computer forensic examiner, because, again, I can see where that individual may have contacted another company or another company had contacted them via Facebook, instant messaging, or LinkedIn.
Wow, extremely careless.
And everybody used to, let me tell you, especially when it comes to intellectual property theft, another company is looking at another company for business competitive intelligence, and so they'll try to recruit, either the marketing person, the salesperson, or executive staff, and they start communicating via social media. So we start looking for those areas on a company work computer or smartphone that the individual is utilizing, and chances are we get a good amount of data from that, from them corresponding.
How'd you get into this?
Yeah. Oh, God, that's a long story.
I mean, is this I, like CIA land? Where'd you come from?
I can't tell you.
Good, I'd have to kill you.
Regardless that I'm Italian, but you know, it's all good.
So one thing I love.
He's not going to answer this question.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm gonna pivot. All right.
Yeah.
One thing I love is dumb criminal stories. Please tell me one.
Oh my gosh.
Your favorite.
Criminals
preferably.
Are not smart, but you know. The internet is making it easier for them not to be so smart because, you know, you can send somebody malware that you can get off the internet on the underbelly of the internet, I like to call, and send somebody an email, and it's really easy. But, you know, I see so many types of cases, pretty much I can't talk about them. But I will tell you this, though. You know, people think they're going to get away with something. You know, they'll you know, go on their computer, they'll use their smartphone, and, you know, wide open, they just start texting somebody, and, hey, I need a job at this company, and they'll start marketing themselves to this company, and then they say, well, for instance, I had somebody send Facebook information through instant messaging through the Facebook, you know, just say how important they are, contacts, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, company contacts are going over instant messaging just to show it, and all their lists and documents and diagrams and network diagrams. It's crazy. Okay, how about this one? Facebook, right?
Sure.
A lot of companies, and I can't condone this, I don't condone this, but companies here in our area will have what's called Beer Fridays.
I
love that. Let me tell you, I truly love that because I'll tell you why. Had an instance where, well, you know, the IT staff got a little silly, you know, okay, drinking a few beers, so they started taking pictures in the server room, okay?
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking, well, that's great. And then, okay, now there's pictures there. They post it on Facebook. Then there's pictures of them in front of the building. Great. Now, how great is that?
Boy.
Well, somebody, a friend of somebody tagged them. Well, it all came back around. Okay. Company was alerted. Employees, well, can't tell you exactly what happened to them at the end, but what did that give me? What did that give somebody who maybe wanted to hack that company is that now I knew what kind of server they had. Okay.
Sure.
I could see everything.
I know what company is. I know on Friday they're going to be hammered.
Right. And I could see that there was no card access or cameras on the outside of the building. So now I've got potential physical
access. I cased the place in 10 seconds on my newsfeed.
And you know what? And that's how it starts. And then you got breaches. You got security breaches. So something simple that kind of got out of hand, that's what happened. So one thing leads to another. But so I love to see that.
How do people learn about what you're doing? I mean, where do you find your customers?
Everyone's a customer. That's the way I look at it. Because typically, not only a corporation, but again, we deal with divorce cases too.
Oh, I believe that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I've testified in divorce cases.
I'm sure you've seen some pretty disgusting browser histories.
Yes. You know, it's sad when you have to tell the client, not only is your significant other doing this, but they're doing X, Y, and Z, and everything else in between.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's crazy, you know, what we find.
So you must work with a lot of lawyers then.
I do.
Is that who hires you generally?
Typically we get hired by counsel, yes, outside or inside counsel, or a law enforcement agency or government agency. But
what's the split here? Is it a lot of government or a lot of corporate, you know, that want to keep it hush-hush kind of thing?
Yeah, don't talk to me about hush.
You can
of course,
just nod.
That's my life.
You can just nod.
Yeah, we do a lot. Majority of corporate. I mean, we have our government clientele that we deal with, but a lot of corporate because of the data breaches and the internal threats from employees.
They're going to pay top dollar, right? I mean, they're going to fork out.
I mean, you know what? The way my approach is and the way my philosophy is that I don't do this wide area net. I ask a lot of questions because I want to focus in on exactly what's going on, what's the problem, okay? And so I'll target. I mean, I've been accused of asking too many questions, but that's my job.
You're a detective.
I'm accused of asking too many questions, too, all the time.
But, you know, I mean, you know, why did you hire me? Because we want to get to the bottom of what's going on, you know?
I want you to find out, but I don't want you to know anything.
Yeah, right.
We've had that a lot.
This is like a really, really good part of the country for you to be working in, isn't it?
It is. You know, the Triangle area with its universities, colleges, technical institutes, and all the corporations and all the R&D that's going on, it's a hotbed for a lot of activity. And I think we're ranked number 3 in the technology sector of places where people migrate to.
Yeah, right.
Because of, you know,
especially
everything that's
younger
here.
People, yeah.
Yeah, and for us, that's great, but it also brings in, you know, where we're dealing with all sorts of cases. Again, from insider threats to external threats, you've got business intelligence, you've got foreign, you know, countries coming here as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it's more cost effective for me to put somebody in a company versus me developing my own R&D.
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of spending $20 billion, I might get somebody on the inside who's a consultant or does some business intelligence and, you know, unfortunately may take some data.
So what kinds of things should companies be looking for? What kinds of things can they put in place to make sure that the bad stuff like this doesn't happen to them?
Well, I mean, obviously you have both physical security and mm-hmm. IT security.
Okay.
Both is an integral part. I believe both goes hand in hand. And, of course, awareness, you know, acknowledging what risks you may have where, let's say, for instance, the crown jewels, right? Protecting those crown jewels. You know, what are your business assets? What is most important that grows your company? What is your company all about? And how to protect that. So, you know, when it comes to the digital side of things, making sure there's right policies and procedures in place, you know?
Now, do you consult also, or do you
do the
friends catch them, or do you prevent them also?
I do proactive work, too. I do a lot of consulting work.
Obviously, I'm sure you'd like to do more of that, you know, stop them from happening, right?
No, I'd love to, you know, because most of the time it's post-mortem, you
right.
know?
Yeah, but, you're like, well, you should have done this.
Well, but, you know, I'm... This field is so evolving, and so, you know, a lot of good companies, a lot of big companies have their incident response teams, and the one gap that I keep seeing out there is the forensic handling, okay? What happens to that evidence? So this way, it needs to be admissible in court,
yeah.
Okay? I train attorneys, judges, prosecutors, and so it's important, you know, that corporations know and counsel in-house and out and outside counsel understand chain of custody and identifying, securing, and preserving that data.
Yep.
So it is admissible in court.
Sure,
I mean, that's
right.
The big thing. And that's where I'm very strict on that and our processes and methodologies. It's very important.
If it's not admissible, it might as well not exist.
Well, yeah. And especially if, let's say, you have a good defense attorney, I mean, they're gonna
do their job.
It. Exactly. Right. Exactly. And, you know, and I train everyone, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really important to understand what digital evidence is and how to process and preserve it so it is admissible in court.
Yeah, I'm guessing you...
And it's not common knowledge by any stretch of the imagination.
No. It's constantly evolving. And, you know, that's one of my passions. I love teaching and training and presenting. I do a lot of that with mm-hmm. corporations and government, law enforcement.
Well, you got to be a busy guy. I mean, it's a certain
7 days a week. But yeah. I, you know what? I can honestly say I love my job.
Yeah.
I totally love my job.
It shows.
I do. I absolutely. And I like to get in with the young kids in the colleges and universities and train them and teach them and give them that understanding.
It's very
cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a lot more to talk to you about. You're going to have to come on up to Wake Forest and tell us a little bit more about your stories.
I'd love to.
Okay. We're going to talk to you soon.
Thank you.
And for now, this is Ann and Michael. Until the next one.
Thanks for having me.